Today is Friday. It's April 1st, 2016. It really is. And these are the Mincing Rascals. Me, John Williams, and Scott Stantis. Hi, yeah. Scott. How are you?
Good, John. Yeah, we're face-to-face, seeing your handsome
visage. We're both
visage.
In the WGN radio studios today. And you fill in frequently for one of the gang when they're out.
Yes.
In fact, all of the gang is out. Steve Bertrand's not here. Eric Zorn and Kristen McQuarrie have all left for greener pastures for the day.
Where the hell are they?
I think they're in places where there's sunshine or something like that.
And happiness, and the children are healthy, and the fields are green.
So thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
You'll
for
never
ha-
guess what I want to talk to you about.
This is so great that I'm like your last choice.
No, actually. No, the guest we had on last week is my new last choice.
But oh, never, what was
you
that?
Know, well, it's a guy who, that's unkind. But I'll just say this. Eric has in mind that we need to have as much balance on the show as we can. So Kristen is further to the right than I am, for instance.
Yeah, she's right of center.
As are
fair.
You. As are you.
Yes.
And I'm happy for that, but I don't think that's absolutely necessary. To me, what's absolutely necessary is people who like each other's company, who are fair-minded, and if you're liberal or conservative, that doesn't bother me so much. In that room, I think we've got three fairly liberal-speaking people, and then Kristen, who is to the right, but she doesn't force that on anybody. Our guest last week did. And I think it's in part because he's a host of a show, I'm a host of a show, and we come at it from different perspectives. And I said to somebody emailed me and said, what the hell was that? And I said, well, that was me not being a good host, and that was him not being a good guest. You need somebody to drive, and he and I were fighting for control of the steering wheel of the Rascal bus. And so, while
nice.
I think that guy does a good show, I don't think he does a good show with me as the host of this one. So thanks for coming in.
It's good to be here, but let me take over for a moment. If I may.
Shut up. All right.
Talk about the joys of free market economies.
Here's what I want to read to you. My Facebook post. I blew up the internet today.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I got like 20 likes. It's funny when you see things go viral, when you see somebody get thousands and millions of shares and comments. You really do appreciate how awesome that is, because I work at two 50,000-watt clear channel radio stations. I have access to platforms that most people don't. And on this particular post, I had 19,000 views and 70 shares, which is really good by me, but that's not blowing up the internet.
It is.
Yet
but
I
it's
said
nice.
This. All right, so here's my post.
Okay.
It's rare to see the moment when someone actually comes to a decision point.
I read that.
Go yeah, on. That was me that wrote it.
Wow.
Maybe you got it from a share as I was blowing up the internet.
I think I did.
It's rare to see the moment when someone actually comes to a decision point. 50 seconds into a clip which is attached to this Facebook post, I'm King John on Facebook, Donald Trump, apparently never having seriously thought about reproductive rights, decides, his eureka moment, watch his eyes dart down and to the right as he conjures up an opinion that, yes, he's against abortion and yes, women should be punished for it. Facing the white tornado of questions, that is Chris Matthews, he wasn't clear on what the punishment should be, and he fumbled when asked if the father of the unborn child should be punished too. Later, he had another moment of clarity, saying in a campaign statement that the abortion provider should be punished, but not the woman. The woman is a victim, he said. Stay tuned for more on this developing gray matter. There have been similar moments when you realize, holy cow, he not only doesn't have an opinion on topic X, but he's never even thought about it. At the GOP debate in Miami, Trump said if he were president and had to deal with Cuba, that he would, quote, make a deal, it would be great, but it's got to be a great deal for the United States, not a bad deal for the United States. And the crowd literally chuckled. Cuba's not a pressing issue for most Americans, but it was fun to watch words coming out of his mouth, even as he was thinking them for the first time. Same the other night at the GOP town hall meeting in Milwaukee. Trump talked about what a disaster NATO is. We need a new organization, he said. Maybe we do, but you could tell as he spoke that he had not thought this one through either. Afterward, analyst David Gregory was amazed at how short and wrong Trump's reach on this topic was. The emperor has no clothes. We've all been waiting for some cataclysmic moment where he fails so spectacularly that his candidacy finally crumbles, but it seems now that that moment's never going to happen. Possibly, though, his campaign will die from a million self-inflicted cuts, because a leader should do more than harness anger. A leader should know where he's going. And Donald Trump time and again demonstrates that he does not. Someone should start a hashtag. Hashtag stuff Donald doesn't know. I was
going to
say shit Donald Trump doesn't know, because that seems to be the way these things work. But there's my PG version of it. So I'm done talking.
Okay. You know, it was I mean, this is not new. The fact that he has thought none of these issues through. I mean, and to be fair, abortion rights is a debate that's just beginning in this country.
Yeah. Wait, Joe, just let that hang out there for a while as they pull their cars back on the road. Because
it's
you're absolutely right. Here's the thing about that, though. I mean, it is. Here's the territory which is new, which he carved out. I think most of us have decided if we're pro-choice or pro-life. And then there are some nuances about that,
sure.
Like how far into a pregnancy do we allow a woman her own destiny, that sort of thing. But if you're going, but a road most of us haven't gone down is, okay, do we punish that woman if, say, after 20 weeks it's against the law in a certain state to get an abortion? Do we punish the woman? And if so, how do you find her? And how do you know that she did this? And then what's the punishment supposed to be? I never thought about that. Of course, I'm not on that side of the equation anyway, but that's new territory for some of us. But, dude, if you're going to go there, you need to know what the answer to that question is.
Well, here's the thing. You mentioned Trump mentioning NATO and just saying we need an and just off the top of his head, we need a new organization. NATO is stupid.
We need a better deal.
What does that mean? But here's the thing. He uses this line over and over again, and this is what – I hate this guy as much as you do, by the way, and you know my politics are of the right, and he makes me want to gag and vomit at the same time. Gavomiting, we call
Gavomity,
it.
Wow.
Military strength. He mentions it all the time. He's every debate, he does that thing, and I'm doing a hand gesture. This is very helpful for the radio, but he does the okay or grabbing a nipple gesture.
Yeah.
And he goes, our military strength is terrible. It's awful. And we need to make it better. And when he's pressed by this, which he was by Rubio in one of the debates, and said, what numbers? What are you talking about?
What does that mean?
It has gone from what to what, and what would you like to take it to? Ronald Reagan used the same tactic in 1980. But he would say, we have now one of the smallest, like the 7th or 15th smallest navy in the world. We should have the first. And that number means we have to have a 500-ship navy. It was something like that. I'm pulling numbers
out. He quantified
it.
Yeah.
He quantified it because he knew what he was talking about. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
No.
Think about fascism, and you go down the list. And I'm not one to say, he's a fascist, Bush is a fascist, you know, Obama's a Muslim fascist. I don't do that. But this guy, you know, it's the cult of the personality, cult of dynamic action. And that means it's going to be huge. It's going to be great. Make America great. First off, can I divert on my rant for a second and say, you know what, Donald Trump? Go to hell. America's great right now.
I thought the hat was going to be a mistake when he started wearing it. Do you remember the first time he wore the hat? And I thought, oh, God, that's A, ridiculous. You're wearing a baseball cap with a logo on it. What is this, a celebrity poker? Then I thought, that's the wrong message, because America is great.
Yeah,
or pretty damn good, but you know, he's smarter than me about this. That hat works.
Well, it's the same. It's the same kind of catchphrase as we're going to take our country back. Really, from whom? I don't remember an invasion, but you know, I don't pay attention sometimes. I binge watch and just let things fall.
But it's also surprising to me that as mainstream as the issue of reproductive rights is, abortion, pro-life, pro-choice, that's not the sort of thing I thought any candidate would stumble on. I didn't think that would actually matter. I thought saying unkind things to Megyn Kelly, or saying that we shouldn't let Muslims in, or that we should build a wall on the Mexican border and make them pay for it, I thought those things were preposterous and injurious to a campaign, and they were not. Now, here's something that's kind of boilerplate, however, you know, sensitive. We've all been down this abortion rights road before. We don't talk about that a lot on talk radio. That conversation's been had, and everybody knows where they stand. And it's shocking to me that something he has said on that mainstream topic might actually be one of his most destructive comments for his campaign.
He can't say anything that just distracts
I think this one is going to, no, you don't think this one's not going to hurt
him a little
bit?
You think any woman with an IQ above room temperature is going to vote for this guy?
I think that Republicans need to vote for this guy. And even though you might say, yeah, well, they're against abortion too, not like that.
No, he was also very much, you know, John Kerry on this. He was for it before he was against it.
Yeah.
Just a few months.
I don't mind the evolution. Well, what do you think about that? The evolution of opinions.
If you
on topic.
Say that, you can, and someone presses him on it, and you know, you can say, "I evolved. I've developed. You know, I've talked to X, Y, and Z people about this, and my heart has been changed on this issue." I can. Okay, sure. That's not what he's making crap up as he goes along. And that's the other thing is, you know, and also what bothers me is the overt and covert use of violent language. You know, when you have a campaign manager who punches a woman.
You thought that was assault?
That
simple battery, pardon me, is the charge.
Yeah.
He squeezed her arm. You saw Lewandowski grab at that event that Breitbart reporter's arm and move her away. Did you think that? I think that is a reflection of how much we don't like Trump. She doesn't have a case.
No, but other
you
people,
get to do
people
that.
In the audience punching other protesters in the crowd.
Okay, fine.
Oh, there's a lot of those. There's not just one or two. It's the idea of this, that punching people you disagree with is okay. You know, I'll pay your legal fees. It'll be huge.
For those of you listening to this podcast, he just gave Donald Trump the finger.
Let's
go back to Scott Standis, already in progress.
Here's what a year ago, I'm going, this is going to be a great Republican primary. We've got a deep bench. We've got a lot of interesting people with a lot of interesting ideas. This will be what we'd always hoped for, the marketplace of ideas. And it's going to battle it out there. It's going to be great. Hey, who's the orange guy?
Well, I said, isn't it funny that... we are recording this the weekend of the Final Four. And if when you started filling out your brackets, I said, will you get a perfect bracket? I'd say that'd be very difficult to do. If when the 17 candidates first stood up for the Republican debate the first time, I don't remember if all 17 of them were there, but there were 17 Republican candidates. And I said, give me the final three. I want to see that bracket. I want to see the guy that said Trump with Kasich and Cruz doing a play-in. And it'll be Cruz and Trump for the championship game in Cleveland. I would have never guessed that.
I thought Cruz had legs because of his deep roots in the evangelical and the far right.
Well, he may be your guy. He's maybe your best bet.
I don't. You know what? I got to be honest with you. He's too conservative on social issues for me. I take a very libertarian view of those things. And so personally, you know who? I mean, I was asked this point blank. The guy I'm supporting, I've said this all over the place, Gary Johnson, someone you need to look at if you're of a mind like I am. And he is the libertarian candidate for president. He's not some nutty guy who runs, you know, a peanut stand in Opelika, Alabama. He is the former two-term governor of New Mexico, did a great job, cut taxes, improved schools, did a bunch, all the stuff that we hope he does. And so Gary Johnson, check out Gary Johnson. And can I just throw out one more?
Yeah, and then I'll just stop talking.
Okay. Patty of... This is it's no longer shocking, but Patty Vasquez, the WGN, got this absolutely right. You talk about who would have their brackets filled and Trump would be in the finals.
Yeah,
she absolutely did that.
What do you mean? She saw this coming a long time ago.
I had a bet. I now have to do two things. One of them concerns body waxing.
Are you serious? You and she bet that what?
I thought Trump was a blip. I thought
maybe he won't. Maybe he won't be the nominee. Was that the bet?
No, that his numbers, at the very first time when he talked about, I forget what outrageous thing he said, I said, okay, it's over. And she said, no, his numbers are going to go up. I go, no. The first debate, the very first debate he participated in.
Yeah.
And I thought, no, it's over. And Patty said, no, his numbers are going to go up. I go, you're nuts. So
you got to get a body wax.
I don't know what, it's her and her producer's choice as to what gets waxed, so.
Well, my pronouncement was that Trump will not be the nominee, and if he is, I'll wash and wax campers for a day in a Speedo. And so we are now arranging.
I don't see how he can't be. He's going to get to 12:37. I don't see how you stop him. Wisconsin's coming up this week, and that's an interesting one to watch. It's neck and neck with Cruz. We'll see.
You can now follow Scott Stantis in the Chicago Tribune. His editorial cartoons appear there, chicagotribune.com/Stantis.
Yes.
Anything else I can do for you, my friend?
No, you've done more than enough.
Nice to see Scott Standison here. And it'll be good to also hear Kristen McQueary, Eric Zorn, Steve Bertrand in the next podcast, and you in the future.
I'd like that.
Thank you, Bob Ferguson, for engineering today's Mincing Rascals. Our producer is Kristen Decker, and we'll drop another one next Friday.
You little rascal, you! You little rascal, you!
The Mincing Rascals podcast is distributed by the WGN Plus Podcast Network. You can listen on the WGN Plus app or online at WGNplus.com, or you can subscribe to the Mincing Rascals podcast on iTunes.